bone tired. He and Betty had worked on the bed all day in a crash effort to finish the small work, the details. You know how long something like that can take and how tedious it can be. But it was done. And now, on the eve of their wedding anniversary, Harold and Betty had assembled it and prepared it in their bedroom. Betty, a romanticist, wanted to wait until the next night to sleep in it, but Harold said no. So tonight, for the first night, they would sleep in the auction bed. The bed of ghosts. The killer bed. They had coined a number of slang expressions for it. Harold couldn't tell whether or not Betty had joined him in this to allay her fears about the superstitions or if she really discounted them. And Betty couldn't tell whether Harold had done the same thing. But this night they were too tired to care about any superstition, and they made ready for sleep. Betty had positioned the bed in the room just so. It had to be just right. They debated for the better part of an hour over where it should be placed. And now at last, Harold thought she was happy with it. A crazy quilt, a refugee from another Grange auction. Oh, God, how many Grange auctions had they been to? It lay across the bed, smiling of warmth and comfort. Betty flopped onto her side of the bed as Harold was in the bathroom and thought of their existence in Fairhaven. The only thing that had cast a shadow across their relationship with the townspeople was the bed. Harold had slept better since coming here. He'd eaten better, felt better, certainly looked better. It was all better. It was as wonderful as she had hoped it would be. Harold, smiling, teeth brushed and tired, came into the room, and the two of them settled in for a night's sleep. Even as drowsiness overcame him, his thoughts echoed those of Betty's. Fairhaven, new friends, new outlook on life. His wife, already asleep, murmured gently as she did when she was dreaming. The husband, in the embrace of sleep, fought off images that appeared in his mind and struggled futilely against them. One was calm, peaceful, tranquil. The other, fraught with suspicion, evil, and tossing. A sudden jar of the bed and the woman threw open her sleep-dimmed eyes. It was difficult to focus. She groped for the man she knew should be next to her. An indented pillow marked the spot where his head should lay. Covers thrown back marked the place where his body should be. Cold sheets gave no echo of where a body might have warmed them. A sudden feeling of dread. An unknown presence. A groping for the light on the night table. A flood of light, and there was Harold. And there were the sewing shears plunging into her heart. And there was the face of death on the body her husband wore. And she was surprised. Dead. His attorneys pleaded with him to claim insanity. For some reason, he refused. The trial, the judge, the jury, the neighbors who charged into the house when Betty had screamed. Even Betty didn't know that she had screamed. The sentence, life imprisonment. 3 dark, sweatered, mute figures swept up the driveway toward the abandoned house. Their shoes crunched on the gravel as they approached it. No one in Fairhaven knew what they would be doing tonight, and technically, they would be trespassing. But they were confident that everyone in the town, including the town constable, would approve. And so they broke into the house, doing as little damage as possible, dismantled the bed, and left with it on the back of a small truck. A man named Clay had counted himself amongst the closest of friends with Harold and Betty, next-door neighbors. It was he who had heard their shriek. He who had discovered the man standing over the blood-soaked bed and woman. And it was he who would tonight pick an obscure spot in the town dump and burn the infernal thing. Clay poured out the gasoline over the frame and, laying a trickle of a path on the ground, threw a match to it and ran as a small explosion rent the night air and flames licked round the teak and rosewood. As he clambered into the truck, he looked at his watch. He remarked that it was too late for coffee at the diner. It was 11:30, and he couldn't take the other two men home with him. His wife would be furious. The morning paper listed the litany of man-made horrors. War, pestilence, politics, diplomatic bickering. And another article. Clay read aloud to his wife at the breakfast table. And she complained that his clothing reeked of gasoline.
My God, listen to this.
State prison officials announced that Harold Hopkins, whose spectacular trial for the scissor slaying of his wife led to life imprisonment, died in his cell last night. Hopkins died of burns over 80% of his body. Officials report that no flammable objects were in the cell and are at a loss to explain the mysterious immolation. The convicted killer was heard to scream during the night, but it was supposed by attending guards that he was having a nightmare. And no investigation was made until this morning. Officials report the screams were heard at about 11:30. 11:30. Oh, my God. 11:30.